A special meeting of City Council tonight, March 3rd, 2008. We have one item to discuss, and Roger, I'll let you take it from there, sir.
Yes, sir. The item we want to discuss tonight is something that came to you in July, went to the Planning Commission in January, and that was concerning a request that we had from a citizen, Jane Page Thompson, who's here tonight, concerning possible changes to our zoning regulations for the downtown area. Currently in the downtown area, the distance between buildings is a zero lot line. We don't require landscaping, and we don't require off-street parking. Now, if a developer wants to have off-street parking, then there are certain landscape requirements, but typically, there's not a lot of off-street parking. Some of the banks have had it for their customers. We gave you some research from some other areas and developments, which you have before you. Ed Evans is here tonight to explain any of those other areas. I know Jane Page has also got some information. And the basic thing we need from council, if we're going to move forward with any changes, is what is the vision that you want for your downtown? And you could split that maybe even into a couple of different areas. What do you want for the commercial core of the downtown? And then you have some other areas as you get a little bit further away from the downtown area, but it's still in the DB zone. So if we can get that tonight, what your vision is, then we can move forward. Or if you say that you like the way the regulations are, then you already have your recommendation from the Planning Commission, which is stay with what they have.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Planning Commission, too, for their involvement in this already and giving us their views on this situation. And Jane Page, we're happy to see you again. We talked about the subject for a while and we continue to. Would you like to say anything to start with?
Are you sure you want to start with me?
Yeah, take 2 minutes if you would. Take a couple of minutes.
Sorry, Sandra, we're going to amend your map really quickly, though. The downtown business zone incorporates the Wilcox building and not the Anacleria residential buildings between York and Newberry, as it's noted there. So that red line goes over one block to the left, which I use the Anacleria residential buildings in my assessment for tonight, so I hope you'll forgive me for thinking that I was on the right track. In the process of trying to figure out what how to tackle the achievements, I went to a lot of different cities than Ed did, so that's even, I think, better. I called cities like Greer, Columbia, and Charleston. I also talked to cities like Camden and Anderson. And I called a city that I know to be, two cities actually, that I know to be like Aiken. One is Saratoga Springs, New York, and the other one is Bayfield, Wisconsin. Both of them have basically a 2-4 block core district, which is Lawrence above Richland and below Richland, basically, in the assessment. Both of those cities have flexible side setbacks, 0-3, 0-7, and leaves the call for the 0, and it can be feet anywhere between 0-7 or 0-3, up to the planning director, in order to preserve the character and rhythm of the streets, and also actually to help fire measures, which is something I hadn't even begun to think about. In addressing Aiken and looking at Aiken, of course the block I'm concerned about is the block that my office is on, and the window I'm concerned about is the window I look out every day. And on a day like today, having to prepare for this meeting tonight, I was gutted, because in 5-10 years, it's possible that the beautiful weather that I saw through my window wasn't going to be visible to me if the zoning stays the way it is, or if there isn't a provision for side window walls put into our zoning. Buildings like this could be built right on my foundation line. This is an application before City Council, or design review tomorrow night, submitted by Buddy Stevens for the building next door. He is having parking lots. He's doing off-street parking. He's doing all those things that a wonderful, committed Aikenite would do. Not all builders are committed Aikenites and would consider their neighbor's right to light and air as much as Buddy has done that for me. So that's his plan. But I didn't want to just focus on my window, my wall, my foundation. What about Aiken as a whole? Saratoga Springs, New York, had buildings that had a unique characteristic from building to building, a wonderful rhythm of the street. Buildings weren't always the same setback. They weren't homogeneity. Didn't exist in Saratoga. But the homogeneity has occurred in Saratoga in the last 6 years, and it's been considered progress. All the buildings look exactly alike. They all have the same basic balustrades and marble slabs and things like that. They look a lot like the building where Maybaum has their offices. They look a lot like the building the Rybergs built. Looks a lot like the Washington Group building. No offense to any of those projects, but they're not in keeping with the existing character that we have in Aiken, with varying roof heights, varying side setbacks, and varying landscape treatments to the outsides and sides of buildings. So as I was looking at these three issues, the off-street parking issue becomes very clear as a need, because we are now on the two-hour parking restrictions in downtown. And as my parking lot slowly got filled up today, and side streets along Hayne and Pendleton and Greenville got filled up, especially when Mead Hall traffic started happening as well as the two-hour parking restriction, it occurred to me that maybe the more and more we move to mixed-use, condominium, commercial space projects like the building on Lawrence, it should be a requirement to have some sort of parking concession. Now, it can be we've talked to Ed Evans and he doesn't think we need it. Or given the fact that we have multiple square feet or eight office buildings with eight condominiums, we should require two parking spaces per condominium and at least 10 additional parking spaces for people that work in those buildings. It's great that if they do that, they're required to do landscaping. I think landscaping and open space should be required from the get-go in order to maintain things like the courtyards that we have behind the building where Malia's is, the beautiful garden that the Jacksons have put in on Park, the basic garden that we've done around our parking lot on Park Avenue as well. And as far as the side window wall provision, I think you can do that by giving it a sliding scale, 0 to 7, 0 to 5, 0 to 3, and leave it up to the planning director as to whether that would impact negatively or positively the building that's next door. So that's my overview. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jane Payne. Any questions of Jane while she's here?
Sure.
While she's there. Did somebody say sure?
Yeah. Okay. How do these towns do this 3 to 7 foot setback?
I'm sorry, Councilman Butters. I have pictures. I forgot to hand this out. This is Columbia showing a 3 foot, a 5 foot, and I think a 7 foot side setback. All of these are side window walls. Three of them are new construction next to
us. Mm-hmm. So does Columbia have an ordinance that allows or asks for that?
It is not an ordinance. It is a guideline within the new construction application. They do put it in their table of use. I'm not sure if it's an annotation or if it's actually in there. Nope, I'm sorry, it is. It's in there. In their C1, C2, C3, C3A commercial districts in Columbia, those commercial districts are I'm going to get this straight. The Shandon area, which is 5 points, the Vista, which is right near the State Museum, their actual core commercial downtown, C3, is the right there in front of the State House, between the Bank of America building and the State House, and that main street of Columbia. Then we have coming down Gervais, the Vista, and then looping around to 5 points. Are there three commercial districts that are most like Aiken? Because they do have a historic overlay or historic component concessions that are made to them. And they do it. It's zero or three. And that's left up to the planning director to make that call. In Camden, it's left up to the building inspector to make the call as to whether it's going to, the building next door is going to be allowed to attach to the foundation of the building next to it, like DeVore did to Palmetto Package, or if they have to step off of the foundation by 3 feet.
And he must have some guidelines as far as window and that sort of thing.
Right.
Which one of these are the two on the left and the one on the right bottom are new?
The one on the top right is the narrowest one. Bottom right is the narrowest one. That's actually, it's optical, but that's about a 4 foot setback on those. That's new construction next to old construction. The top right are two buildings that were both new about 4 or 5 years ago. Then the top left are the right building is new and the left building is old. I believe that's next to Sylvan's Jewelers. And then the bottom left photograph is something that in the future, what the alleyway by my office would probably look like once Buddy builds the condo unit and then plans to have a little building at the back. That's sort of what I think that alleyway will end up looking like. And that's in the Vista.
And that's what, 6 feet?
That's actually, I think that's the 10-foot one.
It's a driveway. It's wide enough to be a driveway.
It is. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to pull an SUV down there, but one of those little hybrids would go really great down there. Or one of those Geo cars would go great. But that's Columbia. And then Bayfield, there's nothing that would preclude you from considering doing something that Bayfield, Wisconsin has done based on our zoning plan. There's nothing that would disallow it in our state makeup. I had that checked. And they do a 5 feet or 7 feet instead of zero or three. They have a zero to seven. They also have a five or seven. So you can do combinations of zero or three, five or seven, so that you can give it a variant. It can vary as well. It doesn't have to be as narrow as 3 feet. It could go up to 20 feet if you want it. But in most commercial areas, the highest I did find was 10 feet. And then zero being the lowest. But 7.5 tended to be one that came up a lot. And then 3 feet was one a measurement that came up a lot. And a lot of these, and I mentioned this to Ed when I came in, a lot of like individual block considerations weren't necessarily in the table of regulations, but they were in the footnotes. Some of the Johns Island areas and the different areas around Charleston had very specific footnotes for specific blocks. Another place I looked at was, I think, Newberry, because of the university. I found that some of their footnotes, which was a city that I know Ed used to look up, university, they actually put some footnotes in to protect a specific building or a specific block, like a block between this street and that street would be exempted or excluded
from zero lot line or from setbacks?
Mm-hmm, from zero lot line. But a lot of those, and this is what Ed and I also talked to Ed about, they tend to really dump everything in the lap of the planning director. I mean, cities like Greer, it's basically up to the aesthetic opinion of the planning director as to whether he thinks it's something that should set precedent or not.
Thank you. You know, the more you think about this thing, and at least the more I think about it, and I'm sure y'all have spent a lot of time too, we've really got a mixed bag here. And as we've talked, and as Roger has mentioned in his note, we've got to also think about years from now and how we think the city's going to grow, whereabouts is it going to grow, how are we going to deal with some of the residential and commercial or limited professional moving either north or whichever way. And it seems to me that we should have some off-street parking, especially for residential units and for hotel motels. I'm going by, Ed, what you gave Roger on your rundown. I'm looking at that right now. Landscaping. It seems like we ought to have some landscaping. I have a question here, and I'm not sure it can be done at all. But for instance, let's think about the bank building over there on the corner of Lawrence and Hain. I think we all would say that we like that open area in front. If we do nothing, my understanding is, and everybody I've talked to just about feels that that building is so arranged such that it would probably have to be, it probably have to come down.
Absolutely.
And a new building go up. Now, if we do nothing, they could come right out to the sidewalk area, right?
Absolutely.
And I think probably none of us would like that. We'd like at least some green space in there. So I'm wondering if in some cases that we have now where we have buildings with windows and setbacks and some green space, is there any way to grandfather that in what we already have? Not to say that existing businesses that don't have any have to have it. Like DeVore's, for instance. If we had setbacks on DeVore's, you know, that would be a much smaller building. You couldn't have any off-street parking there because you wouldn't have a DeVore's.
Right.
There's no space. And I think we're all pretty pleased with that building, the way it turned out. Same footprint as the original, kept the historic value there, and the front is as good as it could be from a historic standpoint. But it seems like, and the paint store next door to us here, where you've got the home, you've got the green space there. If for something, if the Brinkley's decided they wanted to sell that to somebody and wanted to build a big building there, you come right on up to, you've got a couple of feet, I guess maybe couldn't it come any closer to the paint store, Don?
No, it looks
like it's about that far or something.
It could attach to his foundation and the city building. Based on the current zoning.
And that, you're looking at the possibility of losing some green space that we currently have, but, you know, there's no windows on either side of the building, whether it be Harper Realty or Park Avenue Paint.
That's right.
So it's...
The windows on the building on Tony's home on the one side, I think.
He has windows on home on both sides, but if they were to tear that down and put a, you know, just a business in there, then they would be able to go from one wall to the other, you know, not leaving a 4 foot or 5 foot space in between. But, you know, I don't know how attractive it would be to have a 5 or 7 foot space between brick buildings. I mean, I'm looking at these and here in Columbia, and some of these, you know, do have a little landscaping. The other one just looks like a concrete jungle through there with some drainage. I mean, how do you landscape in between two buildings? Yeah. How do you get sun in there? You've got to water those plants somehow.
Right.
You'd have a difficult time getting anything to grow in a 5 foot space between two buildings. You know,
right.
What limited knowledge I have as far as growing.
One other example we were talking about, Don, is. The courthouse over here and then the Regents building next to it. You've got some space in there and you've got windows in the courthouse. How important is it? I mean, if that building were to come down and a 50-foot building go up or something like that, and it moves to the lot line, then obviously the courthouse, I guess, has a setback there. They've got a lot, some space in there, but not very much. Well, how important is that to keep that light and sun, if you will?
Well, in that case, Mayor, we don't really know where the property line runs for the courthouse or for Region. So, I mean, it could be on, the courthouse could have been built on a zero lot line, but we're not sure of that either. I would think of that type structure that they would not build it on a zero lot line. I would have thought that they would have had enough forethought to have left some space.
Right.
But, you know, here again, I could be totally wrong, and Regent's property could go right up to the side of the courthouse. But I wouldn't think that would be the case. Yeah. Ed, do you know anything about that property line?
Just back.
You know.
Well, we can pull it up on 85. Yeah. But I think it goes at the back, at the old Dibble Library. I think it does touch that addition. It's sort of right there at the addition to the old Dibble Library. Then there is a jig-jag for that back parking lot, and then it does come pretty close to the courthouse, but not in the first thing that I brought to you all. The thing that was going to be impacted was the Dibble Library and not the courthouse building as much. If anything happened to that Regions Bank Operations Center, what we see is the parking lot and the green space would... If somebody wanted to put a building in there like we've seen built in the downtown recently, that would come right there to the corner and go up the three stories and go back, and the building that would probably be more impacted than anything would be the Dibble Library rather than the courthouse, because I think there is a little bit of space between the courthouse and the parking lot.
Well, my first thought was the bank building over there in Lawrence, where you do have some green space. It should be nice to somehow be able to protect that, at least some of it.
And talking with Councilman Wells, he mentioned something about the existing footprints when we were talking about things damaged by fire when you and I had that meeting.
Well, if we're in an area which has a zero lot line and the building is damaged by fire, it can be rebuilt to the zero lot line. It's when you're dealing with something outside which has differing setbacks. Let's say if the setbacks on a house on Colleton when it was built, there were no setbacks, so it was built much closer than it could be rebuilt.
Right.
So if it were to burn in excess of 50%, then they would have to rebuild according to current setbacks and not the setbacks that they had at that time. So they could not rebuild that house on the existing footprint.
So could we do something reverse to that? That would be an Ed question, is to have an existing footprint on specific lots that must be preserved. So the front footprint of the First Citizens Bank building on the corner of Hayne and Lawrence, the front set footprint would need to remain, whereas the others could change.
Well, that's my question too. Is that possible to do that on individual bases like that, as an example?
Is that spot zoning?
No, it's not. I'm just kind of thinking out loud, honestly. You would have to modify the downtown business zone in such a way that I don't know if you would perhaps put that under design review, so that design review, you would give them a guideline that you want to preserve those kinds of things in the downtown, like the existing courtyards or the existing green spaces and things like that. But it's a guideline. It's not an absolute that, you know, if the building was built here and it was a 5,000 square foot building, that's all you can have, and it's got to be on the same perimeter that the original building was. You've got to get to a point first where, you know, you do decide you want to modify the downtown business guidelines first. If council is at the point where they want to do that.
But I was wondering, legally, is that can be done?
Well, you know, one of the things that you hadn't talked about yet, you've got people now, for example, First Citizens owns that building.
Right.
And, you know, when they bought it with the zoning rules that were in effect at the time that they purchased it. Just like Jane Page's building was, you know, she had those zoning rules in effect at the time she purchased her building. And I know council has been reluctant in the past to force a zoning change on a property owner if the property owner themselves didn't come and request it. And, you know, you could do a calculation and you could figure out how big a building you could actually build, First Citizens could build on that property. And that's in essence what council takes away by saying you can't build in this area that is presently a courtyard. And that's going to be a big number. It's going to be a very expensive change for them. And there's, you know, plenty of lots in the downtown area where you've got smaller buildings on the lots now than the ordinance would allow. Mm-hmm. And these property owners may very well be holding that property with an idea of wanting to build a bigger building or sell it to somebody who wants to build a bigger building in the future. And those guys are going to be very upset by these changes if, in fact, they're holding that property for a profit in the future. So it would be a complicated issue. I'm sure it's something we could work around. But it would have to involve setting the regulations up in such a way that they apply fairly to all of the properties that you're changing. And that's going to be hard to do. You know, if there's an existing, you know, if you change the zoning ordinance and then you've got certain properties that were in conformance with the old zoning ordinance, but they're not in conformance with the new zoning ordinance, as long as they're not destroyed by more than 50%, they can still rebuild what they used to have. But if they're destroyed more than 50% by fire or something else, then they've got to comply with the new zoning ordinance. They may end up having to build a smaller building than they have before, and that may not suit their needs anymore.
No matter which direction you go in this town, the downtown shopping area is roughly 2 blocks. Am I wrong or right?
The core is two blocks. It's expanding because now it's going to Pendleton and to Newbury. And
but right now it's roughly 2 blocks.
You're going down to Union.
So it's... And it's just like that one property that you were describing at Hain and Lawrence. Just remembering back in the 60s, the Western Bank of Carolina was a several-story structure right up to the lot line prior to that building being there. You know, one area that, or one thing as Gary was trying to figure his way through on this, if you look on the map on Lawrence Street from Barnwell down to Park, and from Newbury over to Pendleton, most all the buildings have zero lot lines and are there is little or no residential. There's a couple of residential lots with still houses that people live in. But as you go further, especially to the east to Union Street, you start seeing more and more houses that are being converted to commercial. But again, some of those are still being lived in by certain individuals. You could always set up subzones within the downtown or reclassify your downtown area that would have certain regulations. If we're going to go with what Leslie was saying in the two-block area and said, okay, here's regulations for that. And then as you went further away, you could have different regulations. Or if somebody was building a residential property, because to me, I see a big difference in what Buddy Stevens is doing and versus, let's take the property at Lawrence and Hain, where someone might want to put a commercial venture in. If you want to say, okay, if you're going to build a residential unit, here's certain regulations you have to go by. Mm-hmm. Off-street parking, some landscaping, you have to have some offsetting of the property lines, just like we do in other residential zones. Mm-hmm. But if it's going to be a commercial or retail, you'd have probably a different set of regulations for those types of properties. Because, again, when you look at residential, they may be parking somewhere 24 hours a day for several days in a row. Mm-hmm. And do you want them on the street?
No.
No.
That's a real worry.
But a retail, people are coming and going, mm-hmm. and certainly at night they're not there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you do have something very distinct and different, especially when you look at the zone as a large area. The other thing, again, is to look at as our downtown expands, and you know, we hope it's going to flourish and expand and get even better than it is now today. Again, what is the vision you would like to see for the downtown? Do you want to see retail spread apart? By being spread further apart, then pedestrian-wise walking,
right,
it becomes a lot more difficult,
exactly,
than if the buildings are right up against, mm-hmm, each other. So what areas do you want to see more commercialized with that compact zoning versus spreading it further out? And again, it's a vision. I always like to look at 10, 20 years from now, what is it that you want to see in your downtown area? What do you want to see in a residential area? What is your vision for our downtown?
Well, I would think on Lawrence Street, where you already have businesses, mm-hmm, without side windows for the most part, that abut, even if it's a shorter building, there are very few windows on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
That could be one area that could be left that way. On the other hand, you know, that new building that the Rybergs built has windows, and if somebody bought the Axe building and built a building with zero lot line right up to the edge of that property, that would not be a great thing, frankly. And I wonder, I mean, we're talking here about addressing idea. I mean, I don't know how strict these communities make these. I think sometimes it's just good to bring up something, for one thing. You know, just to say,
shotgun,
there are windows here, you know, have you thought about a 3-foot or a 5-foot setback? Or maybe we could have ordinances to say that. I think there's a no-brainer that if it's going to be residential, especially a big residential building, there needs to be some off-street parking. And I know this is not exactly the same, but, you know, I think, for example, in New York, where they have space in front of buildings or even those big open spaces within buildings, they get a tax break for doing that. It's a bonus. I mean, I think it's a requirement, frankly, but I think there's also some kind of an incentive to leave an open space here and there. Some people do. Well, I don't know. That may be a requirement by now.
Columbia has, I think the thing that Don pointed out in Columbia is there's one area that offered landscaping incentives, and people took advantage of it, and then some of the other areas they didn't, and that's where you get the concrete jungle in Columbia, is you have the ones that didn't get the incentive to do the landscaping between the buildings, and then the ones that did, and it's a much more attractive setback when you have the landscaping.
And I think there should be something if they leave that open. That's really a community space if you think about it. I mean, during Aikens-Macon and things happen there. I don't know. I think maybe in certain special cases there could be some incentive to provide open space where they don't necessarily have to. So it depends. I mean, I just would love to see the wording in some of these things. Like you said, they're in footnotes. How is that worded?
There. For example, I mean, they really, Greer is my favorite, but I'm going to give you one out of Charleston. An asterisk says that attached single-family dwellings are permitted for special provisions of standards and regulations for one-family attached dwellings in the town or the Rose Houses can be permitted. So it's not that it is permitted. It's very ambiguous. It can be. They don't spell it out. They don't say it. In Greer, it's very... they're probably my most ambiguous and favorite in that that off-street parking requirement. There shall be provided at the time of the erection of any building or at the time of any principal building being enlarged or increased in capacity by adding either dwelling units, guest rooms, seats, or floor arenas, or before conversion from one type of use of occupancy to another, permanent off-street parking space in the amount specified by this section. Such parking space may be provided in a parking garage or properly graded and improved open space. Then it goes on to define what the minimum parking space is, and it gives you the dimensions of what a parking space is. 9 feet by 23 feet by, it tells you how big each parking space needs to be. So that's how Greer sort of says it. And then when you look to see how these things are implemented, or I called places like Camden and where else did I call? Anderson. A lot of it's just left up to the building administrator, the zoning administrator, as to how they're going to require whether it's 2 parking spaces for the new building or 12. It's just basically left up to that person.
Sort of depending on where it is, then.
Sort of depending on where it is. And I know we sort of have it now where if the developer wishes to include it, they can. They don't have to. But when I talked to the people that developed the Maybaum building today, I said, if you had to quantify that project with absorption rates, and we had to look at an internal rate of return and a cap rate and all of those sort of things as a commercial investment, where do you think you are? And short of saying in the hole, the concept was really clear when they said, well, the building was finished a year before we have even closed on half the lots, the condominiums, I'm sorry, so half the condominiums. So in the structure where Maybaum has their office, they aren't even halfway sold. 3 of the 8 apartments have sold, but the 4th sells in the next 30 days. The other 4, the interior ones that don't have the balcony corners and the windows, and those aren't they're begging to try and get people to buy those. So I think that the design of the building is proving hard, even though the design of the building was aesthetically pleasing and great to the design review and all that kind of thing. In the long term, the rate of return is not there on their investment. So I said, well, what's your greatest selling point? The fact that every single condominium unit gets 2 parking spaces. That was their greatest selling point. So to me, that says that off-street parking is not only necessary, but it's actually quantifiable based on the closings that Maybaum is having for those condo units. So that's something to also consider when I think Mr. Smith makes a good point that maybe it's not a zoning change, but more of a guideline for the design review change that takes into consideration that, you know, as we get to 9 and 10, 12 unit buildings in the downtown that also have a mixed use, that maybe we need to look at how the design plays out and whether you're going to be looking at dead space in the future. I mean, we don't want abandoned building or unused space in Aiken's future either.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your point about AutoZone is...
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what...
Well, it's good to look at these examples.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk about this subject, you know, for years. But once you start
looking
at subjects, I mean, specific situations, and say, okay, now what could that be, and what could this be, and is that what we want? And I think that's what we're all trying to figure out right now.
Exactly.
And planning as well. The easiest thing to do would be to say, Bill, sure, come on up. The easiest thing for us to say is, let's leave it the way it is. That would be the easiest thing. But is that really what we want? Or not? Bill, come on up.
Is this an open forum?
Yes, sir. It certainly is.
At some point, I wanted to make a couple of points that may or may not be helpful, and I'll probably have to drag Mr. Evans in as my expert witness, so to speak.
Okay.
The issue that you're wrestling with, the Planning Commission wrestled with it to some degree, but we only focused on the residential part. This new proposal deals with the entire downtown. When you look at the residential new construction downtown, going back to the townhouses that were built over at the old Parker Body Shop behind the City Billiards,
right.
And you just go around to each project, the Ryberg project, Sand River, the behind number 10 Downing, the new Stevens building, the Maybaum condominium complex. As nearly as I can determine, every single new residential unit downtown has had off-street parking. Mm-hmm. And I think the point that Jane Page was just making, it's a market-driven thing. So off-street parking has not been a problem in downtown Aiken from a residential standpoint. I think that with the problems we already have parking-wise, no developer in his right mind is going to try to sell or build and sell residential units without off-street parking anywhere in this area. Now, we could certainly mandate that, but the fact is that it just hasn't been a problem. Now,
it could be, Bill. Today it could be. Tomorrow it could be.
And a meteor could strike downtown tomorrow.
Well, I know. That's less
less likely.
I don't know. But my only point is, ordinance doesn't say that they have to have it.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
The fact that they have it is wonderful, but we can't count on that necessarily. I mean, I'm just giving both sides of the issue.
Right.
And based on the importance of it and what's happened, my inclination right now is to say, let's do it. Let's put it in the ordinance. Now, what's wrong with that?
I'm trying to figure out, help me understand, if there were going to be additional residential areas built other than across the street at the bank, where else would a place location be? And I'm saying that at the bank on Hayne and Lawrence because I had heard of someone being interested in that facility with units in the upstairs area, downstairs set up for merchants and some commercial type of businesses in the downtown street level area. But other than that, where else would we have to worry about?
Well, let me give you an example. I've talked to several developers over the years that have had some wild ideas, but I don't think they're all that wild. One of them wanted to buy where the Holly House, where the motel portion of it is, to take that block all the way around to Pat's and all the way through where the cleaners was at, and at one time to remove all those buildings there to build retail on the first floor and to build a second, third floor residential.
Okay.
So if they did that, there you'd probably have about 30 living units in that one area. And so the question comes in, do you provide off-street parking or not? The property that we looked at buying at Hayne and Lawrence, because again, we were going to buy the First Citizens Bank, and the idea there was to go ahead and remove the bank building, put retail on the first floor, but put probably offices or residential on the second and third floor. Mm-hmm. And again, would we provide parking or not for that? Now, that particular case, when we were looking at it, we were talking about attaching a parking garage to it. Mm-hmm. But right now, in the current regulations, you would not have to. And people would just have to find a place to park. Just like the Rybergs bought the former gas station, they didn't have to provide parking behind that location. And there has been talk from several different individuals about someday Axe is not going to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great situation that they have there, but it's an underutilized building and property. And someday that may not be there, so that building could very easily be raised. And first floor could be retail, and second and third floor could be residential. So I see a number of properties in future years. The property right outside the walls here, where the old bike shop was at, you know, that building could be torn down, and a first floor retail and second and third floor residential could be put in there.
Well, I think it would be irresponsible of us to allow that without having parking available. Mm-hmm. You just don't do that. You must have parking.
And at some point, would that not have to come before us, and could we not then...
Unless you change the current regulations, we could not, if somebody wanted to do that today, we could not require them to put parking in there.
No.
And if you required parking, or let's say they wanted to put parking in there, same thing with landscaping. You know, how much landscaping or other things. Also, if somebody wanted to go ahead, and let's go back to the property at Lawrence and Hayne, and if they wanted to tear down the existing structure and put up a three-story building, there would be no separation. between the buildings if that's their desire. They put it right up against Osmond's and right up against the building next to them. Like it was when it was built, probably in the 20s originally. Yeah. Actually, it was built in the early 1900s.
Bill, go ahead. We cut you off.
Two quick points. One, on landscape. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Evans, but the landscaping and tree preservation ordinance applies in the downtown business district and throughout the city to everything except a single-family detached home. So that means that any multifamily condominium or what attached type building would have to comply with our pre-preservation landscaping ordinance? No? Okay, that's why I called on your expertise.
In downtown business, the only thing that requires landscaping is where you have parking, off-street parking, next to the street right-of-way, and then you have to provide a planting strip along the street. Other than that, there's no landscaping required.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that. The last thing, as I was listening to you grapple with setbacks and building heights and things of that nature, the downtown overlay district guidelines that were passed just a couple of years ago deals with a number of these issues, demolition, setbacks, and basically what they're saying is you look at what is in the context area in terms of setback, building heights, facades, and so forth, and that's becomes the criteria or the guidelines for any new building. And as you know, a demolition, it says, is strongly discouraged. So in order to get a CO or certificate of appropriateness, they would have to go before design review, right, and their plans would have, including setback, building height, and even parking is addressed in here. So that would they would have to get approval to that plan before they could proceed. Is that correct? So it's not black and white, and it's not an ordinance. But for this area, it's so diverse. As you were pointing out, you got Lawrence Street, which is high density and two-story, and then you get away from here, and it's smaller building, smaller footprint, one-story, more open space. And that's where I think the design review downtown overlay district guidelines come in. So therein may lie some of the solution to the problem. So having said that, I would just offer that for you.
Bill, let me just ask you, do you think it would be a bad thing for us to go ahead and specify that any residential in the DB area should have off-street parking, and some manner of landscaping? As a known, as you've got to do it. That is a guideline, certainly, that can be, it's flexible. Now, is any case you see with what's happened, the history that you outlined so well, of what people have done already, builders have done, why wouldn't we want to just go ahead and make it a mandatory thing so we don't have to worry about it?
Would you also include that for commercial? And if not, what would be the rationale?
I'm thinking of residential right now, personally. Yeah, not commercial.
What about mixed?
Huh?
What about mixed and mixed use?
Well, mixed use, like the Maybaum situation.
Yeah, I think that also needs to include it if residential is a part at all.
Whether it's
if residential is a part of the plan at all.
Right.
You know, if it includes any form of residential,
yeah,
is where we are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, but in that particular, let me make sure I understand what you. Yeah. If you said commercial had to have off-street parking also, in that case, how many real estate people do they have in that whole retail section there?
All I know.
And the bank.
$150,000 for parking space.
I mean, the building would be very small because most of it would be parking space. I mean, you couldn't have what you have down there now, yeah, if we had insisted that they have off-street parking.
Right.
Not only residential now. I'm talking about residential. It's a good thing, I think. But if we included the commercial aspect of it and said they had to have off-street parking, it wouldn't be there. What we have now would not be there. I don't know what would be there, but...
Neither would it be there if you required landscaping on the commercial portion.
No, so I'm thinking just residential right now. If we can lop off part of this thing as we go, it's like an elephant, you know. We've got this big elephant here, and we're trying to come to terms with different pieces of the overall downtown situation.
But it sounds to me like...
No, I was just thinking. I don't know how big a problem you would envision parking in the future from residential units in downtown. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that would be the criteria that would determine whether I would require it or not.
Well, don't you think anything we could save is going in the right direction? I mean, people say we have a problem now. Every day, go downtown, you go down Barnwell, and there's at least 20, 25 places just right off of Lawrence Street. But nobody parks there. But yet people will complain, no parking downtown. All you have to do is park right there, walk around the corner by the Chinese place, and you're downtown. So all I'm saying is I don't think we've got the problem that a lot of people want to say we do.
Well, they don't want to walk two blocks, as I said.
Yeah, yeah. They'll go anywhere else, Greenville, and walk a mile to see some of the things there, or mall and walk miles. And anyway, that's another subject, but...
I'm inclined to agree with Bill. I mean, I don't foresee this ever becoming a problem because people are not going to be able to sell the type units that would be built in downtown Aiken without parking. I mean, if imagine them over at the Maybellon building, if they were trying to sell those with no parking whatsoever, right, with the difficult time that they're having with their own private parking in the back. I mean, could it potentially be a problem somewhere in the future down the road? It may. But, I mean, I see no problem in saying, okay, you're required to have two spaces per unit. That's what they've all been doing pretty much anyway. You know, other than Buddy Stevens, I'm sure he probably even has more parking than that over there. But, you know, I mean, I don't see anything wrong in saying, okay, we're requiring you to do this. They're doing it on their own now. And if they're going to sell these things, they're going to have to do it.
Or if there's no problem saying we require you to do this, why don't we say it? And then we get that behind us. That's something we don't have to worry about.
I mean, it's they're going to do it, and I think
I'm not convinced that all of them would do that.
Well, you know where it worries me? Not so much on Main Street, where property values are really, really high, but maybe in some of these outlying areas where there are a lot of houses right now, and they're not that, the property's not as expensive as it is on Main Street, and somebody might think, oh boy, you know, I'm going to plunk this building here, I'm going to build it as big as I can build it, and we don't have anything right now that would let us say, well, that's fine, but you have to have parking for these folks. And I worry more about those streets. Someone was talking about building a really attractive group of buildings behind the Carriage House Inn, and they were really beautiful, but there was no room for parking. And they finally abandoned it because they thought, like you said, they thought that was not a smart notion because they couldn't incorporate it. And over in our neighborhood, it would never have worked. I mean, the city wasn't going to let him, but he wanted to build 9 condos on like a quarter of a block. You know what I mean? The city's not letting him probably saved him from bankruptcy, frankly, because it was a bad, like you said, it was a bad idea. But I don't know. I just worry that maybe if it's not such an upscale, I mean, everything downtown may not be a $400,000 or $500,000 apartment, you know, or even a $200,000 apartment.
Well, and the only other question is, you know, would the downtown overlay district guidelines
be sufficient?
Kick in at that point?
And I don't know enough about what they say about parking, Bill. I'll admit it right now. I don't know that.
Well, they only speak about parking for new structures. Okay. They don't talk about remodeled structures. I mean, St. Mary's project won't consider parking at all. Nobody will consider that as an issue. I'm struck. I don't have difficulty supporting off-street parking for purely residential, but I'm a little concerned about the balance between commercial and residential. And I guess from the perspective, we infringing on property rights in the sense that the owners may have this property intending to build a combined commercial and residential? And is it fair and appropriate to lay an off-street parking requirement on that kind of property?
Good question, Jay. I guess you can certainly...
I mean, I'm all for the straight residential. I have no heartburn. And I'd love to see the others. A lot of these are motherhood statements, but I mean, philosophy, I'd love to see it. The setbacks and the landscaping, but I just want to make sure that what we require, we're legally allowed to do.
In all other areas in the city, we have parking requirements based on the square footage of the buildings that are going to be occupied. In this particular case, what I think I hear council talking about is not requiring parking for a commercial retail business space, but requiring, let's say, two parking spots for every residential unit. And I believe you could do that. There are some cities that currently have parking requirements for the downtown areas, as Ed has done his research. I don't know of anybody that's ever... been taken to court over it, but I'm sure we could always be the first. But again, it would be saying some specific amount, you know, two spots, one spot, but coming up with a requirement. Again, most of the downtown areas, because the cost of the units are so high, it's not just even providing parking spots, but providing garage parking locations. Now, I don't think we have to go that far, but I think as far as a marketing standpoint, you'll see that most of them will provide that.
I don't want to be cynical and try not to be, but I go back to my point of two blocks. We're just two blocks. And to create ordinances when we're two blocks, I recognize you're trying to plan for the future of my children and grandchildren, but I think
two blocks.
We've been very responsible, and our developers have been very responsible with what they have built, because we pretty much held their feet to the fire in terms of what we will and will not accept. Now, we're all not going to be here forever, so I have to take that into consideration. But right now, I'm only looking at two blocks, maybe three blocks, in 10 more years, and creating another law, more laws for such a small area. It's not like we're Charleston is far much larger than we are. Augusta, look at Augusta, although we, you know, that's not a place for us to hold a charming stick to in terms of an example, but I look at the number of blocks that you have to walk down Broad Street. But we're two blocks.
My question along those lines would be, what would be the problem of shoring up the downtown guidelines to make sure that everything is in the same place, that when you're looking at doing your building, you have everything right there in the guidelines for the downtown area. You can include, if you wanted to amend it, some verbiage about spaces for housing units, but I just think it would help to have it all right there together. And if that's not sufficient, maybe make it a little bit plainer and a little bit, put a little teeth into it so that it would be understood that if you build a building for residential, then you have to provide, it would be a good idea to go ahead and provide parking. Because like Jane said, you really could be saving someone from bankruptcy to build a building and then they not have a place to park.
But at the same time, I want to hearken to what the mayor said. When we look at 10, 15, 20 years downstream, just a suggestion, why couldn't we outline what we all think is a perfect world and put it out for hearing and get some input from the community, especially the people that are going to be most affected? For example, I would clearly support a residential, purely residential off-street mm-hmm. requirement. I'd love to get some input on the combined residential commercial. I would love to support it, but I'd love to get some input. We only have limited input. Let's get something from the community.
Dick, that's fine. more input we get, the mm-hmm. decisions, I think.
I mean, I'm struck by the parking ordinance. It was my first city council meeting, and everybody said what a wonderful deal it was, so I voted for it, and I've heard nothing but grief ever since. So I'm getting to be rapidly in favor of community input.
I'd like to just give my opinion here on one thing. We keep talking about two blocks of downtown. You can look at that map up there, and you count all the different blocks that have retail in them. And I can count six or seven. We're not just two blocks. And if we are, somebody please explain to me why we're just two blocks.
When I look at Lawrence Street, Brawl Avenue.
Yep.
To Park Avenue.
That's right. And you got about six or seven blocks in there. Now this is, I don't want to make this a major point, but I think it's very foundational to what we're talking about. We're not a two-block downtown area. Does anybody think we're two-block downtown area and that's all? Got your block over there. We've got the rest on Hayne Avenue. We've got Pendleton. We've got Barnwell. We go all the way to Union. We've got business on both sides of Park Avenue. And what's it going to be? What's it going to be in another 10, 15 years? I think all of those areas are going to tend to expand. Maybe not on Colleton going that way, but going the other way.
Mr. Bear, I'm looking at where these people come down here and park, and they complain about the parking area. It is on Newberry Street. It is on Lawn Street. It is on Richland Avenue. It is on Park Avenue. Now tell me where else they're parking.
And I'm talking about where we have retail businesses right now.
And I'm naming those blocks.
All down Newberry. All down Park Avenue. Starting down where Ryberg's home place is across there, where your business is, coming on down Lawrence Street, Newberry, Chesterfield. Then you've even got the shoe shop on York, and it goes on down to Union. And do we think we're not going to expand down Park Avenue on both sides and going down Richland even? We are. That's if we're going to expand at all, in my opinion.
I mean, I think Wade has
five years ago when we moved to Aiken, we were maybe two blocks, Leslie. And you were here before
it's
that.
It's still two major blocks, Mr. Mayor. I live down here.
Okay, that's beside the point, I guess. But I have a problem with saying we're only two blocks downtown.
She's a small town girl. Where I came from, we got six or eight blocks.
Okay, where else do we go here?
Wade, Mr. Brody has it.
Wade, go ahead.
Thank you. Wade Brody, 422 York Street.
Traffic, where I see people walk.
For the last 20 years or so, we've worked pretty hard on the downtown area. And I think we look at it, we'd all agree that it's been very successful. And my thought is, if I change success, I think it'd be a real mistake to try to require off-street parking for multi-purpose lots, like, for instance, commercial on the first floor and residential on the second floor. I think that would kill the growth in the downtown area. I also feel that we're spending a lot of time talking about off-street parking for residential. I think that's a moot point, frankly. If you spend $500,000 to buy a lot in downtown Aiken and you go build $1 million house on it, or you go rely on off-street park, I mean on street parking, I certainly wouldn't. Beyond that, the growth of downtown is going to continue to escalate property values. And unless you get into a multi-purpose facility, it's going to be almost prohibitive, I think, to buy single residence property in the downtown area. So, you know, I don't see a problem really with off-street parking. You can control it if you want to, but I don't think that problem will ever exist, really.
Thank you.
person coming.
Well, now this building that's going to be built has how many parking spaces? It has how many units, Buddy Stevens' new building?
Physical units in the building?
It looks like.
There are 9 physical units in the building, and somebody has 9.
9 parking spaces.
And 1 space per unit.
Uh-huh.
Which means my parking lot will be used in the evenings for their personal entertainment, and the street out front will be used for their, they get some deliveries, and God knows where the spouse has been parked, but I guess that's that.
I mean, there are going to be 9 cars on that street all day long.
Yeah, and New Urbanism proves that if you don't have to provide off-street parking for mixed use or residential in your downtown core district, you lose your retail and lose out because it can't survive.
You remember when Joe Riley made that speech at the Municipal Association about how they insisted on retail in the lower floors to draw people around the corners of streets and not have a stopping point.
Right.
Carla, tell us how you're going to build a park.
I ain't building nothing. I'm Carla Cloud of Aiken Downtown Development Association, and since Mr. DeWar had said about the little input, I thought I did need to come up and speak because the board of Aiken Downtown Development Association did discuss this at their last monthly meeting. But I can tell you, you can ask for input from the community, but you won't get much until you make a decision. So yes. Get used to that. But we did discuss this because we did feel like, you know, Jane Page had done a lot of work, and we felt like there were some, you know, there were some issues that needed to be discussed. However, what the board ended up after much discussion, they felt like, and I know Jane Page even talked about how some of the cities have very ambiguous ordinances or footnotes and that sort of thing, and so there was some concern that there was a lot of potential for problems with no real solutions if you did put ordinances in here that made heavy regulations on parking or landscaping or whatever, that you were opening the door for a lot of potential problems, and that it was not practical to require new businesses to provide off-street parking, and as I go down, you'll find out why. And with the proposed regulations, property owners would lose the value of their property, and this was something I think that Roger kind of alluded to, that if people are saving their property, it may be a small building, but they anticipate having a larger building on it, and they're allowing that property value to increase, and then if there's an ordinance later that says that they can't build what they thought they could, then their value of their property has actually gone down. And the typical downtown vision is to provide more density, which in turn would provide more walkability. So those were the reasons that the Downtown Association Board decided that they would not be in support of changing anything, because they had some concerns about what it would do to the value and what our vision was for the density of downtown on the commercial side.
Have you seen the drawing of the building, of the sign? Have you seen the sign next to Olive Oil's, where that lot's for sale?
Yes.
That's a huge building, and there's not a parking space on it, is there? And there's nothing we can say, right?
What? How tall is that building, Jane?
Well, it's just a drawing.
No, it's just
it's not
suggestion.
A plan. It's
they're not saying,
a,
yeah, they're saying you could do
this. It's a suggestion.
Does it look like it's 3 or 4 stories?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I haven't seen that.
It's just a suggestion. I mean, it's just why this lot is so expensive.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing. They're thinking this is possible, so this is what, and this is a good example. There's 2 sides to it. Yes, you're right. There's no parking, but on the flip side, they've obviously felt like they can sell this for a certain amount, and if there's regulations, then the value of that property may go down. I think the parking is a good asset for these people, but
in contrast, when you look at what was at the corner of Park Avenue and Chesterfield Street in the old days on that corner, there was a 3-story hotel on that corner. And now it's just open space. So, you know, we've done some things without ordinances to make improvements to this town. Mm-hmm. It didn't take a law. We just did it because it's the right thing to do. And this is before I got on council, but you had people that recognized what needed to be done. It just didn't take a law on the books to do it.
Is that the lawyer's office's open parking lot?
Yeah.
No, it's the parking lot for the courthouse.
For the courthouse, okay.
And if we can add up to the street.
I think they're leasing that.
If we can ever get the people that own the bank building we all keep discussing right there at Hain and Lawrence, I have a great vision for that to be a park there. So, and I like that idea more so than the setbacks of the little alleys, you know, because they're not really useful, whereas if we have these larger areas occasionally, that. But that was really me speaking, not ADDA speaking. I told you what they said. Any questions?
Well, did they have any feeling about whether about the neighbors' structures, whether that ought to be considered, or did they feel that that was covered in the downtown overlay guideline, or
which part?
The part about the suggestion that she said we need to address respect to the neighbors' existing structure.
Oh, with the right to air and light, right? No, one comment was made, and I'm going to bring my personality into it because Jane Page and I had spoken, and I understood that, but somebody made a good point when we were discussing, and I don't remember who, but said, you know, the problem with that is that the people up to this point have been able to go to the zero line, and so now you're telling the future people they don't have that same privilege, that this person went to the zero line and they've got put a window in, and now you're telling the new people that they can't do the same thing to build right up to the line. And that was a piece that, you know, I really hadn't considered. You know, is that really a fair thing to do too? So hopefully we're all nice. I would be a good neighbor. I wouldn't do that.
I think a lot of people would be guilty of that, and that's perhaps the second one of them. I have to answer that question probably about 4 times. Or do you go to the building?
Well, but whoever built it, yeah, right. the original person. So, but I trust that you all will make a very good decision.
Thank you, Carla.
Where are we going?
A couple of quickie points.
Yes, ma'am.
In listening.
Yes. Go ahead.
One thing I want to point out, as the recession solidifies itself nationally, developers are going to look to make shortcuts on cost. One of the first things that can get jettisoned on a cost analysis is parking. I saw it. The building Jane mentioned next to Olive Oil's is represented. That plan actually came from somebody out of my own company. So it's a fight we have daily over coffee. I being a person who supports the new urbanism, and somebody else being a person who supports a capitalist cap rate priority on a regular basis. So I think that when you look at the finances of it, I think that I agree with the mayor when he says people are doing it. That's great. But one thing, as I look at all of you, in 20 years, some of you aren't going to be here. I may not be here, but the likelihood that I am is great. And I think that when we see that, you all have guided this city for a long time very well. I don't necessarily see anybody that's coming along that's going to do the job you all have done. So therefore, we don't want to lose ground by not solidifying what you have achieved. And so I think putting it in an ordinance form does that. Relying on the gentlemanliness of people like Buddy Stevens is great. But what if it's not Buddy? What if it's some developer from Atlanta like that man that wanted to do those units? And it wasn't until I actually sat down with him for 9 hours and went over the financial feasibility of his project that he realized I can spend this money somewhere else and make more money. So I think that that's a key part, is looking at the economics of it on that level. But to make or not make laws based on somebody's future potential profitability is not something I think you need to worry too much about, because like Bill said, we could all be hit by a meteor tomorrow. So I think not making a project cost prohibitive by your ordinances is one thing, but trying to secure the future property value of a lot is not something you need to think too hard about, because that's nothing you can guarantee. I mean, we could see the dollar plummet to
historic lows in the next 5 years. So that's not something you can forecast or we can even think about. But we can say, is this going to be for the benefit it adds by adding off-street parking and landscaping to a project? Is the detriment by not having it great? And I think what I learned from talking to people with the building on Lawrence Street is that if they didn't have what they have now, they would be in an economic disadvantage. So I think that needs to be something really important to consider. And as we have the two-hour parking limit in the downtown business district, there are people who live above some of these buildings, and we do see them. We will be seeing them further and further get pushed out to Hayne, Pendleton, Greenville, Park Avenue. So it is an issue, and it's something that now is the time to address it and not wait 10 years from now when it's too late. So thank you.
Thank you, Jane Page. Bill, Reynolds, you had mentioned earlier when you were talking about the guidelines for the design review, the overlay guideline, and there's certain things in there. Of course, they're guidelines, and they do address parking. They address design. I don't know. I think you, and I haven't looked at those in a long time. So, do they address parking and landscaping?
Parking, not from the standpoint of providing off-street parking, okay. But if you have off-street parking, here's the way it should be. It should be behind the building and not on a corner, and that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. So it wouldn't protect you if, in case somebody did come in here cutting costs or whatever and said, well, we're not going to provide off-street parking. Now, I recognize the value of the lots and all that stuff, but you could go around the corner somewhere maybe and find something that would be reasonable, put it up an apartment where you've got a number of tenants and with no parking, and then all of a sudden you've got 10, 12 more cars out on the street. And that's the only thing I'm thinking about as far as making it kind of mandatory here, if you would.
Mr. Mayor, I agree with you. The point's been made that they're going to do it anyway. However, it's nice to have the safeguard in there. That's really, since we're not really going to hurt anyone, as we understand, why not put it in there just as a safeguard in case there's a real dummy who comes along?
I don't know if we have got some ground here that we can agree on tonight, at least on one of these subjects. We've got the setbacks, the landscaping, and the parking. Or do we need more time? Do we need more information? Dick has mentioned trying to get some more information.
I'd like to see Columbia's ordinance about the separation of the buildings, what they say. I'm just curious how they word that. I don't see that on Lawrence Street where buildings are already smack dab up against each other. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think your point, though, is excellent. It's the residential that you're really
just residential,
about.
Yeah, not commercial. Mm-hmm. Now, this is something I was thinking about late this afternoon. And is there, I don't know who owns B Lane. We were talking about this, too. Who owns B Lane out here?
The mayor and council does.
The mayor and council?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The city owns it?
The city owns it.
Okay. So it would have to take the city approval to say, let's expand the building over to Sam Herb's building or something.
That's correct.
Okay. As long as whoever lives over there doesn't own it, then what's come this way? I didn't know who owned B-Lane. And how about going on down across the alley? Who owns that going out to Richland? Do we know?
The city does.
Oh, okay, the whole alleyway then. That's the city's.
Yes.
Okay. Not only B Lane, but the alley. So.
That's correct. So that parking area or that little drive area between the hotel and the motel is public property.
Right. Okay, so we're safe there. Okay, do we want to, this is a special meeting, it's not a work session, so we can vote on anything that we want. Well, if we have a desire, if we know we want to approve anything or not approve anything at this point, get more information.
Well, two points raised. Jane's concern in terms of getting really seeing what those footnotes read and more information regarding those footnotes. And secondly, Dick Duar, his point in terms of wanting to hear public input is where I lean, both in regard to their two comments. And Congressman, how do you get public input unless you make a motion in terms of deciding on something? So
we can take them one by one. If somebody wants to make a motion on each item, and when we get through, we might have something that would that we can ask the public to comment on. And I think it's the fourth page where you've got the zoning ordinances changes to address. We don't have to agree on specific wording, but the first one is the off-street parking for new construction in the downtown overlay district. And I think she's simply asking that we consider requiring new construction of every type to have an off-street parking plan.
Is that a motion, Dick?
Residential?
Yeah, that's just residential we're talking about. Here's Jane Page, I think you're saying all new construction.
Yeah, she said all, but we...
Not just residential.
So we can amend that all to and I think you need to, at this point, really clarify whether you're talking about a Ryberg-type building or a Maybaum-type building, whether you've got any residential unit or solely residential units. I think that's where you then need to make your words very clear at this point. My request is all new construction be required to have an off-street parking plan. They can elect that their off-street parking plan is not to have any because they can prove that there's enough parking on Barnwell or on Greenville or wherever to accommodate their parking. But they have to have addressed it at least.
So this would be retail and residential?
Any mixed use or residential.
Okay.
If council would like, because you don't have anything you're voting on right now, if that is a concern, why don't you ask staff to develop some potential regulations to provide off-street parking for any new development having residential units incorporated within them? It could be the entire unit or it could be a part of the unit. But then let our staff come back to you and actually have some regulations. Should it be one space, should it be two spaces, you know, what those should be. But if that's something you feel
comfortable.
I would feel very comfortable with that.
We'll bring back some language on the parking for residential units only. Okay?
So the motion is to ask staff to develop what?
Potential regulations that we could bring to you in a first reading form to provide off-street parking for new residential units in the DB area.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Without show hands, all in favor of that? Move. Okay. Hey.
Okay. Okay. What about air and light?
All right, which
I want to ask Jane Page a question about that, Roger.
Excuse me?
Have you contacted any other persons about this and have any feedback about what, in general, people may have said? You're in real estate, and have you talked to anybody about how serious a problem this might be downtown?
I point out in here, I think, probably cursory look about 9 places where it would become an issue. What I have found is that oftentimes people put their own personal gain ahead of what might be the greater good. And I, in my own partnership, have one partner of mine that does not support me in this whatsoever. But it's not their window that's affected.
I just know that there are buildings all up and down Lawrence Street that...
It's not. I mean, I think when I looked at the DB zone, it's those blocks. It's all of those blocks on that map right now that are in the red lines. Our mistake, and this is where I think the Planning Commission may have felt a little short, and I think where maybe the ADDA might invite me to come to a meeting, we think of downtown being Lawrence Street. Well, I do business up and down Park Avenue to Union Street, and I do business to Barnwell and Greenville Street.
Okay.
And so I think that the misconception we have is that it's just Lawrence. But when you start stepping one block off of Lawrence, if you come off of Lawrence and Newberry, mm-hmm. you start getting problems on places like Hayne, Barnwell, Newberry. So I think that it's important to realize that you're talking about everything in that map, not just the four, what I call the quadrant, which is Lawrence Street down the middle and the blocks that are formed on its north, south, east, and west corners.
I just think if there were some, I need to get my downtown overlay ordinance, but I think there needs to be some statement about respect for the neighbor. I mean, even if it's just a general statement like that, mm-hmm. because at least that gives a neighbor the right to come to a BZA meeting or a design review committee meeting or a city council meeting and say, you know, look, now, if the house they're worried is falling to pieces and there's a teeny little window, I'm not going to get wired about that. You know what I mean. But at least if there is a legitimate concern, like I think you had, it would give them the right, some ability to come to talk with us. It doesn't say that zero lot line is not going to be allowed. It doesn't say that. And I don't think in some of these it says it either.
No, and I think in my particular case, which I have to look at as well, the whole block from Lawrence Street to the end of that block where Buddy built the building to the stormwater drainage line, that was all owned by the U.S. Post Office at one point in time. So all of those buildings were a part of the post office. So they got subdivided off as the post office sold off what it didn't need anymore. So I think that so you get that issue too, is that people may think that because all of a sudden we have an office there and we're very present there, people think we built the building. I didn't build the building. The building was built with an existing setback on that side wall. So therefore, I think existing footprint comes up again, and maybe that verbiage needs to be included somewhere in a guideline, that consideration of an existing footprint should be given should there be window walls on a side building, or should there be a landscaped open space in the front of the building, or should there be an existing off-street parking provision. And that's another part we haven't even talked about tonight, is what about buildings want to eliminate the parking that we have that we're using? So you know, maybe in the guidelines, that's where we can put some ambiguous verbiage about consideration of an existing footprint when you're dealing with landscaping, off-street parking, and side setbacks.
Well, Mr. Stevens was smart because look on the side of his building how many windows there are.
Well, Mr. Stevens also wasn't going to tell us about his plan until tomorrow morning at 10:30.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of nice windows. It would be awful if somebody built something.
That's
like
where I think it's important, you know, in the downtown business
to block those windows. That'd be terrible after he spent all this money on this building.
And I think notice is a key thing that I would hope to get added as well, is that should a property next to you be affected, that the neighboring properties be notified, just notified. Not that they have 30 days to respond, but just that you're given a notice. That's all. Just a thought. Bye.
Well, now with the downtown guidelines, they have to be, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
with the overlay district thing?
Yeah, well, the sign in the window at Gene Kling's building is between the steeplechase poster and the horse show poster, and it's really sort of not noticeable. It's not one of the signs that gets stuck in the ground out front. So it wasn't until I actually did my weekly check of future agendas that it popped up.
Why don't we talk about the right to light and air? Because what we might decide there has effect, of course, on the landscaping and plan and the tree preservation plan. I'm not so sure any of us are willing to say that we're going to restrict. Gary talked about this early, and mm-hmm. I guess I hadn't really thought about that, taking away space and taking away the ability of the owner of the property to be able to do what he wants to do with that property.
Yeah, that's a very difficult one.
Yes, it is. And while we would love to maintain that green space over there on that building and say, hey, anything goes up there, you got to keep this green space. Your points are well taken. We would, in effect, be telling the landowner he couldn't, we've taken value away from what he could do on his property. And I don't see that personally.
But you know, we might want to think, not tonight, but think along the next few weeks about some kind of plan to reward people for leaving publicly accessible green space downtown.
Well, I think that's a very, very good idea, Jane, you mentioned. I think that's very good. Because it's, and Jane Page, you said that it's actually being done in Columbia and other places too, probably, but.
And the city offered actually, I think it was not a credit, but a discount on your taxes based on the base co-op. If you were going to spend $60,000 on your landscape plan, they prorated your tax assessment for that 1 year for that half of the amount, so you didn't have to pay your assessment on that $30,000, which is kind of nice. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
And probably illegal, but.
Was that the you know, they have those public-private partnerships that were so fun. So at Aiken, let me back this up. The Aiken Corporation would offer this sort of, you know, revitalization. I think this revitalization plan.
And there may be some kind of provision that I'm not familiar with in the state code that allows that kind of an incentive payment. I'm not sure if there is. We just tend to be.
Let us look at that to see what kind of rewards could be established. Obviously, we have used. Everybody has to pay their taxes, but there are ways that you could back into certain things to allow certain credits to be done. But the big question would be, obviously there's a lot of existing buildings currently in the area. Like, what would you do if somebody tore down their building? Would you give them the credit, or is it only on new construction? And so let us play around with that a little bit. Not that it's a requirement, but that there might be some rewards if they go ahead and provide it. Because again, as we're talking about, it is the DB area is a large area. It's, I think I counted, as we were talking, 16 different blocks here of property going from Union Street over to Pendleton and then from Barnwell down to as far as Colleton in some areas. But often a reward would be one way versus saying you can't build to the property line. As now people could do it. And I think then it goes into your next one, which is the landscaping. Until we can figure out what we're going to say in the second one here, you may not want to approach the third one yet.
But it's noteworthy that you weren't able to find any community that had a restriction on right to light and air of neighboring buildings, according to your memo, and I didn't see that Ed was able to identify a community that has one. Is that correct?
In South Carolina real estate law, the Supreme Court does not recognize the policy of right to light and air as one of your basic rights when you own real estate in South Carolina.
But they do recognize setbacks.
Sure. I mean if you wanted to impose setbacks, certainly you can do that as a city.
Yeah. But it would have to be as a city. Mm-hmm. And what Columbia has is you have your very core downtown, what we think of Columbia, and then the Vista and Five Points is away from the downtown. They're trying to create a different look. And again, that's why I said it in the very beginning. What is the look you're trying to achieve in the downtown area? And that's a hard question to answer. And it might evolve as time goes on as to what that answer will be. But as the mayor said, we'll cut up this elephant a little at a time.
Is it also worthwhile, you think, to look at this varying degrees of what Jane Page mentioned earlier about the setbacks? I don't know how in the world they do that, but you lay it back on the planning director and. But how in the world do they do that and keep consistent and not appear to be preferential to some people and not so preferential to others.
Well, that's the problem.
A lot of it has to do with fire regulations, too. I mean, that's where a lot of it comes from.
And our fire regulations and the international building code allows for buildings to be right up against each other as long as they have the correct sprinkler systems in, the right building materials. So obviously that could be dealt with.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring you something on the residential units. That's something we could come up with fairly easily. Then we'll look at some of these other communities is and how do they handle this reward for this open space area.
Right. I wonder if it'd be worthwhile for all of us to get a copy of the Columbia. Have you got it, Jane, now?
Jane Page had this one copy.
Okay. Does that look like something that it's very comprehensive?
Well, we don't see the definition of what these different zones are. You know, it says C1.
But
I don't know what C1 is. You know.
And where C1 is and where C2 is and where C3 is.
Yeah.
Let me get an idea. I mean, I don't think this particular...
Well, we're talking about downtown, though. We're not talking about Five Points anywhere else.
Well, in Columbia, their Five Points is a downtown. It's a lot like that Sumter Street downtown, like Lawrence Street. And their main street for several blocks is like Lawrence Street. And I think that maybe, for me, the biggest thing that would be important is to have it be more clear for the design review of Plan 2. To take the downtown, and it comes into play with the land management ordinance as well. When you have a HUD project or something that sort of falls outside of the purview until it's the last step that they have to go for design review. And have design review have that guideline really tightened up that in order to preserve the rhythm and characteristics of the street, consideration of the overall rhythm of the block. And that was the way a lot of these cities got around making it 2 feet, 5 feet, 10 feet, 0 feet. Was that they threw it on the planning staff and the design review board or historic architect review, whatever they call it, their downs, to maintain the rhythm and character of the street. And I think the big word rhythm really sort of applied that you can have everything be a quarter note, quarter note, quarter note, but you can have a pause and a half beat in between. And so I think that word rhythm showed up a lot in what I was looking at. So maybe we focus the guideline on that concept more than saying it has to be 3 feet. Because I agree, maybe it doesn't need to be 3 feet. I just think that there needs to be a provision to protect it for the future instead of it being so ambiguous and nobody has to pay attention to it at all.
Okay.
Do we want to discuss item 4 on that fourth page about the additional language to protect existing buildings if destroyed?
Sure.
And that was one that we generally discussed, but again, is that something that we could, that seems pretty explicit the way it is.
I had a question. Maybe it's right in front of me and I don't recognize it. But any structure damaged more than 50% in the downtown business overlay district can be built back on original footprint. How about if it's not 50%? How about it's less than 50%?
I think the ordinance says now that 50% or greater, it must be rebuilt to comply with current setbacks. And that specific example was the building next to Don Wells. And he and I had a meeting outside of this. He brought that up and he said that building couldn't be rebuilt the way it stands today if it was more than 50% destroyed by fire. So to say...
No.
No.
So that's...
It could be.
You don't have to build all the way to the road if you don't want to. You can still not.
You're talking about the yellow house.
We're talking about rear setback. When you and I were talking, he used that as an example to me. So I used it as an example.
If that house got destroyed, they could go back and build something smaller, or they could build it right up to the paint store, right up to Harper's, right up to the street. And are right up to the back property line. You know, they could go either way. That'd be up to them, the way our current ordinance reads. All it's saying is if it's been destroyed over 50%, then they have to comply with whatever regulations are in effect at that time. The Willer Hightower situation. The house gets destroyed, then they have to be at least 7.5 feet from the side yard.
And then they can always go to the BZA if they feel they have a legitimate appeal.
That's correct.
Okay. So this wasn't necessary. You would be talking about changing the entire zoning ordinance because that affects every zone in the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just addressing what's here.
Well, is there any reason to change anything about what we have now?
Doesn't look to be.
We don't think so.
Okay.
I agree.
That's a basic question.
We were just looking at those four items. I was going 1 through 4.
I want to give
Jane Page due consideration. She took a lot of time, and I know she's expended a lot of effort to fight for what she believes in, and I respect that. I just want to make sure she got due consideration.
Okay, so the way we left the light in the air of neighboring buildings, is it the staff's going to take a look at
reward us? See if there's an
incentive. Incentive.
I'm not going to correct you. Incentive, reward, incentive. Just show me the money.
I think Jane Page might be looking for another excuse to go to court again. And she's good. She's good in the courtroom. Y'all should come watch her the next time she goes.
It's good.
Okay, are we set here? Since we voted on the first one, we need to vote on this last thing where the staff's going to do something.
No.
I didn't think we had to vote to start with.
I don't know that you necessarily voted.
You're just giving me direction.
Just giving direction. That's right. What we did. Yeah.
You'll actually be taking a vote.
We voted the first item.
Well,
the first time. Which we didn't really have to do.
You haven't changed the ordinance yet.
No, that's right.
No,
I agree.
We just voted to ask that he bring it back because somebody said we ought to.
So we expended a vote we didn't have to.
Can we vote to adjourn?
Okay.
Second.
I move to adjourn.
Do we have to vote on adjourning? We never have.
No, let's just go.
It's your prerogative,
Mayor. We stand adjourned.